Dream Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Start your engines. This is the Chasing Checkers Podcast with Chase McCabe on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
What's going on? Welcome in, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game, online at thegamenashville.com, on demand. Find us on iTunes, rate, subscribe, and review. Listen here, live on the air. The show is everywhere as we are ready for championship weekend from the Homestead Miami Speedway. Four drivers have a chance to win it all. And you know the names. Joey Logano, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, and the defending champion, Martin Truex Jr., in the final race for Furniture Row Motorsports. It's going to be a fun weekend, and this is going to be a fun show. We are going to break down Phoenix, figure out how we got to this point. Dr. Jerry Punch, longtime pit reporter from ESPN, he's going to join the show this week and give his thoughts on the passing of David Pearson, who we lost this week, and also what's going to happen at Homestead. Should be a lot of fun. But you will hear from all four of those drivers. And here in this first segment, you're even going to hear from one that was eliminated that was oh so close to making the championship four, and that is Kurt Busch. But I start with this question. With Kyle Busch's win at Phoenix, does that give him momentum? Does momentum actually exist going into this weekend? Like, can you say that, okay, well, he won, so he has momentum? Well, you can also say Kevin Harvick won a few weeks ago, even though he had the penalty and it didn't count towards automatic qualification. He's still there. He still made it. He has momentum. Joey Logano, he won a few weeks ago at Martinsville. He has momentum. And you can also say, well, you know, Martin Truex Jr., he kind of fell off. I mean, he's been consistent, but he hasn't been winning races. I mean, it's all very valid, but does momentum actually exist? Here is the race winner, Kyle Busch, on momentum.
Yes and no. I mean, obviously, anytime you can go to victory lane, it certainly means that you've been the latest winner, right? And you can go on into the next week kind of riding a high. But it's a totally different track, totally different everything. So different circumstances on the line this weekend. Obviously, a great Final Four here. One of the best, I think, that we've seen kind of the entirety of the year. So I'm certainly looking forward to it. You know, our number 18 M&M Toyota Camry and Adam Stevens and the guys have done a phenomenal job all season long. I mean, we heard it in the video. It's been one of my best years, and I'd certainly love to be able to cap that off with a victory on Sunday and another championship.
It's Kyle Busch at Media Days for the Championship Four. And, you know, I think he said it best. Yes and no. I think both of those answers are correct. You have to give him a little bit of an edge because he won the latest race. But as he just said, the Homestead Miami Speedway, it's different from Phoenix. It's different from Texas. It's obviously different from Martinsville. So it doesn't necessarily matter that one of these guys won the race before the final one. I just think it's going to be who has the better car and who finishes the best of the four, whether it's winning the race or you know, coming in third or what have you. That's really all it boils down to this weekend at Homestead. Kyle Busch also commented on just winning at Phoenix and what that meant.
Yeah, it certainly feels really good. I mean, it's better if you got a shot to win, to go ahead and win than to not. So obviously just the beginning of the race was not quite as good as we wanted it to be. We kept working on the car all day long, kept making it better. It was super good and strong on those restarts, and we were able to kind of pick some guys off and get ourselves farther up towards the front. Wasn't sure what all was going to happen there with that. We came to pit road under green, and then the caution came out, and then being a lap down, all that. I thought that kind of ruined our chances for being able to have a win today, but overall, just a lot of crazy things happened there at the end and got us in position to where we could capitalize on that. And feels good to go off into next week with a win under our belt and hopefully do it again.
Kyle Busch, after his win at Phoenix, yeah, it was wild. I mean, there were some crazy things that happened. And you can look at several different drivers and a couple that are in the championship four. We'll start with Kevin Harvick. He's got a rabbit's foot or something, because he's lucky that we're talking about him this weekend. I mean, he's the favorite If you ask a lot of people, you look at Vegas, he's the favorite going into Homestead to win it all. But, you know, he had some issues at Phoenix, wasn't very happy after the race, but did comment on his day that they made it.
I never really thought about it like that. I just thought about getting it. My main job was to try to get it back to the pits without crashing it into the wall or having a tire blow out and rip the fenders off. I felt it go down going into turn one and you know, just kind of tried to nurse it into turn three and back around. So I couldn't get down over there. And, you know, I just drug everything all the way around and drug the splitter off. And so it never really handled as good after that, but we've made some adjustments to our car and got ourselves back in contention there in the second stage, staying out, and it worked out okay.
Kevin Harvick, after his day, of course, he had the tire go down and had those issues. He was able to battle back and get into position where he was able to advance into the championship four at Homestead. It's been a crazy few weeks for Kevin Harvick. I mean, you look at him, 8 wins on the season, tied with Kyle Busch. Has been the dominant car. He's been, you know, he has been the guy that everybody has looked at. And he has that penalty at Texas. He loses his crew chief and Rodney Childers and his car chief for the final two races. And, you know, you just think, oh no, is this going to take Kevin Harvick out? He can't use that win to automatically qualify. And he has a day, let's just call it a day at Phoenix, and yet still finds a way to overcome. And he makes his way to Homestead. And that's just kind of the year that Kevin Harvick has had. That's what has made them so freaking good, just because, you know, they can overcome just about anything. And that's been fun to watch out of that four bunch. So Kevin Harvick somehow, some way fights back and makes his way into the championship four. And that's the kind of driver that Kevin Harvick is. So he will race for the championship. Now, one thing that was interesting, Kyle Busch was asked in the post race about Eric Almirola, you know, where the restart there at the end happened. Eric Almirola had a chance, and if Eric Almirola had won, that would have bumped Harvick out of the championship four, because Almirola would have gotten that spot, having been in the round of eight. And Kyle Busch was asked about that scenario and what would have happened.
Well, I mean, yeah, it crossed my mind, and having him alongside of me for a restart, you always got to think about who you're restarting against and what their objectives are and what their agenda is. So, you know, obviously having the restart with Almirola next to me, I figured he's going to try to do some things. So you've got to be ready for some of those moments and what's going to happen. But overall, I just knew that if I got a good restart and just got myself out front and got clear, that I could go away and not have to race any of those guys and worry about that. So, you know, I was just kind of contemplating if he got by me and got in front of me, then what's next, you know. But my first and foremost is just go away.
That's Kyle Busch after the win at Phoenix. And here's the thing to think about. And I think he answered that question honestly and in a very good way. If Almirola had won, Kyle Busch was going to be in either way, and he would have taken away his biggest competition. Now, I'm not saying that he was going to let Almirola pass him and let him win, but I do think it's interesting that you have to think about it that way of, okay, well, you know what? If he does get by me, it's not the end of the world, because it's gonna take away a key piece. And look, Almirola could have won the race. He turns around, goes to Homestead, win, and he's a champion. You never know how this all shakes out. But I thought it was an interesting conversation that they had in the post-race press conference with Kyle Busch about that, because you kind of have to look at things in that way. Martin Truex Jr. had an up and down day at Phoenix, finishing 14th, and he commented on his day and moving on to Homestead.
Right place, right time, a few of them. The big crash off of turn two on that restart on the backstretch was, I mean, it was close. There was cars, smoke everywhere. I just basically stopped going into turn three and was lucky to find a hole to get through. So, just a little bit of good fortune, a little bit of the right place, right time. And, you know, the rest of the day, we just, you know, we battled and got what we could out of the car and did what we had to.
What's interesting about Martin Truex Jr. is a lot of people have kind of written him off, that since they announced that Furniture Row Racing was closing, this is the final race. They're trying to figure out, a lot of the crew members have, you know, either made plans or figuring out their plans for next year. Of course, it was announced that Truex and Cole Pirn were joining Joe Gibbs Racing, taking over the 19 car. But I would not rule out Martin Truex, because that team wants to win one more for Barney Visser in Furniture Row. They want to go out on top. Even though he hasn't been as much of a factor with the big three, we still call it the big three, I still think Martin Truex Jr. is going to be someone to watch this weekend at Homestead. It's a hunch. He's too much of a competitor, and they have built the best possible car. And I know I've read that from a lot of people, that they all kind of feel that way, that he's going to be a factor. And then finally, Joey Logano, he had a rough day. And what's interesting about this, think about the controversial move that he pulled the bump and run on Truex to win at Martinsville. Had he not gotten that win, he's not in the championship four.
Left rear tire went flat. Don't really know why. It just kind of came out of nowhere. We may have ran something over, or I don't know. I went down on the flat a couple laps earlier to make a pass. I don't know if it was hard. Got the defender into it. Who knows what happened there, but she just went out and tried to save it. I thought I had it saved, but by the time I got it straightened back out, the rest of the tires were flat because I had them flat spotted. But, it's what it is. We'll move on. The good thing is we're locked into Miami, and it doesn't really matter. So we'll keep our heads high and get ready for next week.
That's the big thing. Doesn't really matter, because it doesn't. I mean, he punched his ticket, and that's why that win at Martinsville was so crucial for him to get that done early, and he knew he was going to be racing at Homestead. One guy that is not racing for a championship had a consistent year that seemed to fit well with what Stuart Haas Racing was doing, his plans for next year still unknown, was Kurt Busch. He caught up with the media after and was obviously disappointed.
Eric Jones was on my inside when we restarted, and I just wanted to make sure I didn't slip through three and four, or the new one and two. And if I could have been to somebody's outside off two, then I thought we had a good shot at maintaining the lead, and I just got cleaned out. I flat out got cleaned out. I thought it was the right decision on staying out. I'm not going to look back on it. If the rule, earlier in the race on the pit road and I'm passing the pace car is black and white, I just need to get brushed up on my rule book, but didn't gain anything by doing what I did other than just digging from behind all day. Really good year for a Haas Automation Ford, thanks to Monster Energy and everybody that put their talent into that 41 car. I just didn't get the job done to get us to Homestead.
We saw a long embrace between you and owner Tony Stewart after you got out of the car. What was exchanged?
It was just helping me out as a driver, owner. That's what Tony Stewart does. He's a good individual that knows how to pat somebody on the back and help create clarity from the outside on what went on, because I only see what happens from the inside of the car.
That's Kurt Busch after the race. Disappointing finish to his season. Of course, one race to go, can possibly go out on top. It looks like he's going to go to Chip Ganassi Racing next year, so most likely running his final race with Stuart Haas Racing. An announcement, of course, hasn't been made as of yet, but pretty cool of Tony Stewart to come over and kind of help him out and console him. That video circulating around the internets. But Phoenix is in the books. Homestead is in the front. We will check that out with Dr. Jerry Punch, longtime reporter for ESPN. He will join us here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you as always, and very excited to be joined by our next guest. You know him, a longtime pit reporter for ESPN, of course, college football, college basketball, just about everything. Dr. Jerry Punch on the line with us. And Dr. Punch, how have you been? It's been a while since we've seen you.
Yeah, it's great. It's nice to be able to have a little free time and trying to decide what I do in my next stage of life. After the ESPN deal in 2019, looking at different options. Love college football, love college basketball in the spring, and might try to get back involved in auto racing. But, nice to have a few months to relax a little bit at the end of my ESPN deal. All these years, it's been a pleasure to be a part of ESPN's growth and over the last 30 years, and I work with a lot of great people there. So it's been a blast.
Well, it is weird watching races and not seeing you in the pits, whether it's the IndyCar series or NASCAR or pretty much anything. But it's good to hear that you're doing some fun things while you figure out what's next.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, and it's at a point in time, I'm so proud and honored to have worked with so many wonderful people over the years and to do college football and college basketball, and, you know, all the greats. And you know, this past year, getting the Lindsey Nelson Award, it was probably one of the highlights, not only because it was named after a former Tennessee great, Lindsey Nelson, who was a legend in broadcasting, but looking at the names and the Brent Musburgers and the Ron Franklins and all the great people that have gotten the award over the years, it was pretty nice to be able to know toward the end of my career that you would be honored like that. So that was a thrill for me, and now it's on to see what happens next.
So I guess you've gotten to enjoy NASCAR racing a little bit as a fan, but some sad news coming down this week. David Pearson, the Hall of Famer, the legend, passing away. Did you have many dealings with him over the years during your time in motorsports?
Oh, I did. I got to know David really well back in the early years when we were doing radio only. David Pearson, Richard Petty, Cale Yarborough, Bobby Allison, all those greats back there. And then as David quit driving, I don't think he ever officially said he was retiring because David wouldn't do that. But when he quit driving and he was around Larry, his son, who was a Busch Series champion, and then Ricky was by Eddie, crew. I got to know all those really, really well and hang out with them. And David was one of my all-time favorites because he was just so smooth and so relaxed. And he was a very, very smart race car driver, very, very clever. And he took care of the equipment. He knew at times he didn't have the equipment to race against the Petty Enterprises group, but he would take care of the equipment and get the job done. And when it came time to make his move into the races, like he would look at his watch and yell and say, "Okay, it's time to go up and pass Richard Petty and win the race," kind of deal, you know. And it was tremendous, tremendous respect. That's the word. People talk about rivalries. Richard Petty said there was never a rivalry. It was a mutual respect with David Pearson and myself. And of course, the fans all remember the 1976 finish at Daytona when they slammed each other coming off turn four, and Pearson was able to get his car cranked and across the line to win the race. But one of the all-time greats, sure, for the sport.
Yeah, the Silver Fox, as he was known. And you know, obviously, I've watched old races through the years to kind of see, you know, what all he brought to the sport. But I guess what was crazy to me is he kind of got to a point where he wasn't a full-time driver, but he was still competing and winning races and just right there in the mix.
Well, you know, he won all three championships without driving full time. Back then, it was about winning, and you could score a lot of points by winning races. He didn't have to run all the races, and that's how good he was. And that hasn't been done before or since. And even after he retired, I mean, people would go to Darlington where he'd won 10 times, and they'd say, okay, let's have David come over and take our young driver around the racetrack. And every time we go down there, David would be sitting behind the hauler of some young driver. Even in the early years, Rick Hendrick's drivers or Joe Gibbs' drivers, they'd have David Pearson come over. And David wouldn't drive the race car. He'd put him in a van or a rental car, passenger car, and take him around the track and show him the line. And then David would say, okay, here's the line, the fast line around Darlington. Now, you're not going to drive that line because none of the young guys do. But eventually, during the race, as you're being passed by time and again by some of the more experienced drivers, you're going to say, I wonder what it's like to be up there. And you're going to go up there and you're going to run inches off the wall and you're going to say, oh, my gosh, am I fast up here. That old white-haired man knew what he was talking about. And you're going to laugh and say, yeah, David Pearson helped me out. So he did a lot down there. I remember being at Darlington one time when Susie Culber was down, our Sports Center host was down. She was hosting the pre-race show that I was calling the race. Brent Musburger was off that weekend, and I took Susie to the garage area, and we walking down the garage, introducing her to the driver, and we're walking down, and David Pearson was sitting in a director's chair behind one of the haulers, and he saw us coming, and David saw Susie, and he never met a pretty face he didn't like. So David stepped up, walked over to Susie, and said, hi, I'm David Pearson, the Silver Fox. And she smiled and said, I'm Susie Culver from ESPN. He said, well, you've met all the rest. Now it's time to meet the best. And she just laughed. And David says, And he winked at me and says, she thinks I'm talking about as a driver. And I just said, come on, Susie, let's go. That's David Pearson. I got to keep you away from him. And it's just, he was that kind of guy. He loved to play hard. He loved to drive hard. But he was so respected, and he certainly will be missed immensely.
Talking to Dr. Jerry Punch here on Chasing Checkers. And, you know, he's number two in the all-time wins list with 105. But where do you rank him of all the greats of all time in NASCAR?
Well, I think that, you know, I have to go back to what Richard Petty was asked earlier this week. He said, is he number two? And Richard said, there's no number two in this sport. There's a one and a 1A, and I don't know who that would be. You can't really say it's by wins, because great. How do you measure greatness? I mean,
right.
The fans loved him. What he did, and the cars were different. I mean, great players who win championships on different teams. Everybody has a different team. You know, who knows how much they contributed to what one team or another. So I can't say he wasn't. You know. Wasn't the best, you know, I was ever around, but then I'd see Kel Yarborough or I'd see Bobby Allison or Richard Petty, and I couldn't say they weren't either.
He is Dr. Jerry Punch, and remembering David Pearson here on Chasing Checkers, but there's going to be a champion crown this weekend in Homestead, and as I mentioned, you've been able to kind of watch and sit back. What have you made of these playoffs? To me, they've been very exciting. NASCAR has gotten exactly what they wanted with this playoff format that they put in a few years ago, and the big three makes it to Homestead along with Joey Logano, and I think we're going to see a fun race for a championship.
I think we will. I think exactly. NASCAR's playoff scenario is exactly what they wanted to do. They wanted to make it interesting and have a nice, you know, climactic finish, as opposed to everyone yawning and saying, okay, so-and-so's 300 points ahead, or he's got 200 points ahead, and it's this and this and this. And, you know, Kevin Harvick, in my opinion, has the best team and the best driver combination. He has been all year long. He'll be without his crew chief and car chief because of the penalties following Texas for the rear deck spoiler situation. I think Kyle Busch is probably, like Harvick, maybe he can drive anything anywhere. His Toyota will be well-balanced. You know, he's going to be hard to beat down there. He's a former champion. He knows what it takes. You know, Joey Logano, you know, the mile-and-a-half, he's not won on a mile-and-a-half track this year. But you take Roger Penske's team and put them in a one-race playoff, they're hard to beat. Penske's success speaks for itself. Logano's and that team are really good in tracks that require high downforce. This mile and a half is different than the other mile and a half tracks in NASCAR. It requires a lot of downforce. Logano will be good, but does he have enough friends on the racetrack? Because he rubs some people the wrong way. Sometimes in a championship race, you got to have people that'll work with you, and I'm not so sure that's the case. He may end up having people who pit around that'll make it hard for him to get in and out of the pits. He may have people on the racetrack that won't help him get by. So that may be tough for Logano. But you know, you'll see what the Penske team can match up. And probably the feel good story would be Martin Truex Jr. team running their last race together. It's their farewell song. They worked so hard. They're closing the doors. A class individual, the story everybody knows about him staying so close to his longtime girlfriend and who's been cancer-riddled, and how he offered to step away from racing last year to go through all the chemo with her, and she said, no, I won't let you, and ends up winning a championship. So he's a special guy, wonderful example to what commitment should be in a relationship, and he's got to be one of the fan favorites. And so last race for that team, boy, how do you not? I mean, I realize their equipment's old and they're just trying to make the parts finish the year. But you talk about the ultimate underdog. He's the David against the Goliath in this one. But I don't know. I always liked the David story, and every time I told it, David won. So I'm thinking Martin Truex may be the guy to look at, although Harvick's going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, I think he is. But what's interesting about those four is they all have kind of these – sub stories that kind of go with their, you know, their weekend. Kevin Harvick, you mentioned the suspension of his crew chief and his car chief and kind of overcoming that, still have 8 wins on the season. Kyle Busch, to me, I think, you know, he wants to win another championship, because I think so many people look at the one that he did win and they want to put that asterisk by it because he didn't run all the races. You know, talking about David Pearson earlier, but he had that injury clause.
Right.
And then Logano, as you mentioned, with everything he's gone through, with upsetting some people and losing it a few years ago, and then, of course, as you mentioned, Martin Truex Jr. I think that that's what's cool about these four is they all have these subplots.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, and I think it's going to be interesting. I think, you know, Kyle Busch, that wreck in Daytona helped him. It hurt him, but it helped him. He matured in so many ways in the car, being out of the car. And I think that allowed him to win a championship, and NASCAR recognized that. And Kyle Busch was a wonderful champion. Kevin Harvick's been a wonderful champion. So is Martin Truex Jr. Joey Logano, the only one that hasn't won a championship, he's a heck of a race car driver. And I'm not sure that you could say he was wrong in some of the things he did in rubbing people, especially the Martinsville incident, because he was trying to win. And you know what? Roger Penske said, I hired him to win. I didn't hire him to finish second. I hired him to win. And he did what he needed to do. He didn't wreck the guy. He moved him up the racetrack on the last lap, which we've seen Richard Petty and Richard Dale and David Pearson and Kiarber and Dale Earnhardt. All these guys have done it over the years. They move people if you have to in the last lap to win, but that's why you're there. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. The great part is that it's exactly what NASCAR wanted. Four different stories. You can pick and choose. It's going to be a great day. In the last few years, you know, the championship contenders, I think, have finished 1-2 down there. So it could go down to the final lap and the final turn.
Well, yeah, and we've seen, you know, the champion win the race. It's almost like that's what has to happen now, that one of these four has to win the race to win the championship, and it you can kind of equate that to a Super Bowl or an NBA championship game. I mean, that's what's kind of cool about it, that it's coming down to this final race where you have to win it to win the whole thing.
Exactly, and I think Kevin Harvick said just that when he was interviewed on Tuesday of this week. He said, I'm going down there with the mentality that I have to win the race to win the championship. That's my mentality. I've got to win it, and we'll see what happens.
You've been around the sport for a long time, and we've seen NASCAR go through some changes recently with leadership. We've discussed the playoff format and what they've done there. You're in the TV business. You know what it's all about. It's all about ratings. It's all about revenue. And this sport has been trying to get people back to the racetrack. They've been trying to get people to watch. What do you think the next step is for NASCAR as they work their way back?
Well, I think they're doing it. They've made some leadership changes, which needed to happen. And they got the drivers, and they're trying to. And the product on the track has been really good the last few weeks. It's been good all year, but they've got to get, you know. And the drivers are reaching out to the fans. What Kevin Harvick did at Texas, going up and grabbing that little boy and doing he pulled a little boy out of the stands, to do a selfie, and then gave him the checkered flag. Drivers reaching back to the fans, that's what helped the sport grow, the accessibility of this driver. You can't walk on the court and shake hands with NBA players, and they don't stop and sign autographs on the way on and off. Most of them don't. But the NASCAR, that's been the case. And so I think that's what's helping the Yonair. What you can't have happen is you can't have the middle-of-the-week discussion be about who broke the rules. I think NASCAR's inspection process is good, but they got to find a way to keep, you know, even if you start keeping this quiet a little bit, you know, let the discussion all week be about the great race on Sunday, not about who on Wednesday had an inspection issue, because that just – Bill France Jr., when I used to fly back and forth on the NASCAR plane to Florida every week, he would roll over in his grave if he knew they were letting this happen. You cannot have that happen, because it takes a positive and turns it into a huge negative for the sport, and you can't do that. So I think that's where they got to look next. Simplify the inspection process. Do it at the racetrack after race, so when people walk away – as Mr. France always said, they know who the winner is, and they go home and they feel good about cheering for that guy, and they're looking forward to next week.
I completely agree with you on that. That is a good way to end it. And Dr. Punch, I appreciate you taking some time and talking to me today. It's good to hear from you, and whatever's next for you, we'll be paying attention.
I appreciate it. It's always a pleasure to be with you, and I hope this weekend lives up to the hype. I think it's going to be fabulous. Thanks again for having me.
Absolutely. The one and only Dr. Jerry Punch, longtime pit reporter, announcer for ESPN. You saw him in the pits. You saw him on the sidelines of college football games. And yes, he is a doctor. I mean, he saved Rusty Wallace's life one time after a wreck. So really cool to get his perspective on everything going on with David Pearson's passing and also the race this weekend at Homestead as we get ready to crown a champion. When we come back, I'm going to give you my reasons of why all four of these guys can win the championship this weekend at Homestead. I will make the case for all four. I guess that's my way of not having to pick, which I'll probably do eventually. That's all next. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and online, thegamenashville.com.
Welcome to Miami.
That's right. Going to Miami. Championship Four, Championship Weekend from the Homestead Miami Speedway. Welcome back in Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. On the app, on iTunes as well. Rate, subscribe, review, search for Chasing Checkers, and you can check out past episodes in the Pod Center at thegamenashville.com. Appreciate Dr. Jerry Punch for coming on the show. Always good to catch up with him. Just one of the best. Just class act. So really cool to talk to him and hear those David Pearson stories and his thoughts on Homestead this weekend. So this is what we're going to do for the last two segments of the show. I'm going to give you some reasons. You're going to hear from these drivers of why I think each one's going to win. NASCAR.com did a great piece on all four drivers in making the case for all four of them. And so that's kind of what we're going to do here. And we will start with Joey Logano. Joey Logano is the guy that made it by winning at Martinsville. And that's how he got to the Championship Four. He only has two wins on the season. He's been very consistent throughout the year. But he's the one that not everybody's looking at. In fact, he kind of made a joke at Media Days and called it the Big Three and Me.
Well, like you said, it's the Big Three and Me. You're right. But, you know, I think, honestly, you have to have that confidence. I'm sure everyone here has the same amount of confidence and feeling that they are the favorites for whatever reason it may be, or it's all probably different. But for us, I feel like, you know, we've been able to overcome a lot this season and build a lot of momentum, have an amazing playoff up to this point, scoring a lot of points, leading a lot of laps, such the last few weeks. Not only on short tracks, but Kansas, we had a great running with a pole. And, you know, Miami's a little bit different, but it is another fast racetrack similar to that. So I feel like our team's in a great spot. Our pit stops have been amazing lately. The confidence is in not only myself as a driver, but in our whole race team all the way through all of Team Penske. So we're ready to get to Sunday and see what happens.
Joey Logano at a Media Days for the Championship Four. Look, he's peaked at the right time, so I think you have to put that in his favor. Now, that kind of goes back to the conversation we were having in the first segment on momentum. Does momentum actually exist in a one-race playoff? But, yeah, he's got two top fives in his career at Homestead. This is his third Championship Four appearance at Homestead. He's finished fourth before. That's his – twice, I should say. That's his best career finish at Homestead. He's never won there. But, you know, I think of the four drivers, if you're being realistic, you put Joey Logano fourth. If you're just looking at the entire big picture of how the season has gone, you put Joey Logano fourth. But I would say that he is aggressive enough that he's going to do what it takes to win. You saw that at Martinsville. He was willing to do that. He did the bump and run. He did not wreck Martin Truex Jr., but you know he still did what he had to do, and ultimately that put him in a position to compete for a championship in the with the Championship Four. And I thought the media did a great job with all four drivers, asking them why they thought they were the favorite, why they thought they could win. And here was Logano's answer.
I didn't mean to stir anything up. I just felt like I was. I still do. I'm not trying to stir the pot when I say that. I feel like that what we've been able to do the last 15 races, heading into the playoffs, during the playoffs, all the way through this point, we've been able to execute under a lot of pressure without many playoff points behind us, and we've been able to, you know, get our way through each round with really, by the time we get to the cutoff race, not much on us because we've been able to execute under the pressure, get the stage points, and now we've been, you know, leading the races and getting stage wins. Pit crew's been on it and grabbing a race win, maybe the most important one of the all year to get us ready for this one here in Miami. So, how do you not feel confident in that? You have to. And I'm sure, like I said up there, everyone else feels confident that they're the favorite. You know, I just said it. I'm pretty sure they think that too. If you don't, then just go home, right? I mean, it's you got to feel confident in yourself unless it's, you're wasting your time out here.
Joey Logano, why he's the favorite. He's making his own case. And, you know, as I said, I think that he's peaked at the right time. Now, does that equate to a championship? I don't know. But I think he has definitely gotten hot at the right time. Now, one thing that, you know, is going to have to be a factor is he going to get help? You heard Dr. Jerry Punch say that. Is he going to get drivers to get out of his way and give him room like they would a Kevin Harvick or a Kyle Busch or a Martin Truex Jr.? That is a big question, and that's something that Joey Logano is expecting. He expects to get raced hard. Of course, people, of course, have asked him about the incident with Truex Jr., and this was his answer.
I said, hey, I expect to get raced the way I race people, and I'm a hard racer, and I expect to get raced hard. I said it before, we didn't crash each other. I didn't crash him. I moved him up enough to have a drag race, and that's what I explained to him, is that, you know, it's just so much on the line in these situations, and if you don't make a move like that, you're going to go back to your race team, and I know if I worked on that car, I'd be mad. I'd say, why didn't you at least try to win, you know? And I wasn't going to crash him. That's completely different than what happened there a couple years ago. I wasn't looking to do that. I was just looking to move him up the racetrack and then have that race to the start-finish line, which we did. We had that.
Joey Logano. So my factor for him, why I think he will win the championship, his aggression. He said it right there. He's going to race hard. He expect to get raced hard. There's no surprises for him because he know what's coming. He knows that he's going to get raced the way that he races other drivers. Harvick, Kyle Busch, they're that way. Truex has pretty much said, he joked that he has a free pass, which Logano kind of denied, was like, I didn't tell him that he could wreck me. Look, he's expecting anything. That's why I give him the opportunity to win. That's why I think he will win. I'm doing this with all four drivers here on Chasing Checkers. Now, before we get to Martin Truex Jr., they had a portion of the media days where they had all four drivers up there at the same time. And this was an interesting question about, you know, having the same four organizations, that were there before or there last year, why they were there again, and what that says about the sport and what that says about those organizations.
There's been a lot of speculation this week that this is the best championship for a group of drivers that we've had since the program started 5 years ago. I'd like to know what you guys think about the competition you're up against.
It's the exact same four organizations that were here last year.
Organizations. Three of the four.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends on whether Brad or Joey are better drivers. I'm not sure.
They both run into you a lot.
Pretty close. Probably best I keep my mouth shut on this one.
So, you know, some humor there, but Joey was asked why he didn't say anything, why he didn't have a response.
I've learned a lot from my 10 years of doing this. sometimes it's best to keep your mouth shut and just go out there and kick ass. That's just what you do. You know, you go out there to win, and that's pretty much it. I'm not going to talk the talk. I'm just going to go out there and race my car.
He's going to go out there and walk the walk is basically what he's saying. So Joey Logano, that leads us to Martin Truex Jr. Final race for the Furniture Row team. They're closing, and we start with that. I think that gives him an edge over everyone else because he's going to be racing with emotion. And sometimes that's dangerous, but sometimes that's really, really good. Barney Visser has meant a lot to the sport, has meant a lot to Martin Truex Jr. over the last several years. They've won a championship, and Truex was asked on Media Days the legacy of Barney Visser and what it means for NASCAR.
Champions. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what you set out to do when you go race. That's the ultimate prize. That's what everybody, when the season starts and you're getting ready for Daytona, everyone says, what do we got to do to win a championship this year? So, you know, the fact that to be a, you know, a team that's only been around for like 12 years and have a championship at this level is something to, you know, really be proud of. And it's something that, you know, may never happen again. So pretty awesome story, I think.
That's Martin Truex Jr. on the legacy of Barney Visser. And he went on to say, he was asked, you know, there's so much emotion. You know, they tweeted out a video of them loading the car up one last time and leaving Denver and headed to the racetrack. And, you know, does this kind of have a different feel to it? Does, you know, or is it just an everyday race weekend? This was his answer.
I would say it's more normal because we've been here twice already. You know, it seems like every time you do it, you get a little bit more used to it, and it feels a little bit more of just another weekend. You know, I think for us, you know, you really put it out, you throw it out there, it's really just another race. And the more I feel like you can look at it that way and race that way, the better off your chances are. That's what we did last year. We just said it's just another race. We're going to go down there and do what we've done all year long. And that's what we did. So, yeah, I feel awesome, ready to go, and can't wait to get on the track tomorrow and see what we got.
So you listen to him, and you can tell, you know, he's just kind of like, hey, it's another weekend. We're going to treat this like that. That's what I did last year to win the championship. I think it does matter that the team's closing. Like, that obviously factors in. But I think he has to look at it differently. He has to look at it as, I got to do what I got to do. And Martin Truex Jr.'s ultimate goal is to go out on top as a champion with Furniture Row.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know, a lot of emotions talking to the guys, but they're fired up, and they feel like they built one of the best cars they've ever sent out of there. And so, you know, that's really cool for me to hear and to see that, you know, their passion and their excitement for this weekend. It gets me motivated and pushes me to try to get all I can. So we'll see what we can do with it. And it'd be a hell of a story to go out on top.
And it would. I think it's kind of like you don't have that ever happen, that the defending championship team is like, hey, look, we don't have enough sponsorship, so we're shutting down. And then their final race, they're in contention for the championship and they win it. They go back-to-back championships, and then they're not at Daytona. And that's essentially what could possibly happen. I mean, Truex is going to be there. Cole Pern's going to be there. They'll be with Joe Gibbs Racing. But Furniture Row won't exist anymore. And if you've seen the paint scheme for this weekend, it's pretty cool. It's got Bass Pro on it, but it's that matted black, that signature, you know, paint scheme. Very simple, that they ran with the Furniture Row logo on it for so many years. So they're running the throwback scheme. You got Jimmy Johnson running the throwback Lowe's scheme with his last race with Lowe's and Chad Knaus. So pretty cool weekend for sure. But Martin Truex Jr., I give him the edge because of his crew chief, because he has a relationship with his crew chief that you just don't see a lot. You can almost equate it to what Jimmy and Chad have had in the past, but I think that gives him such an edge, and he commented on working with Cole Pern.
That's really, really easy to answer. 2014, we struggled a lot. You know, our cars were not very good. We had some major issues that took a while to figure out. But he never pointed the finger at me. He was our engineer. Yeah, he wasn't the crew chief, but he was the engineer, and he did a lot of the setups and a lot of the work on the cars, and you know, he was the one writing down the notes and taking all my feedback. And he, as far as I know and as far as I could tell, he believed in me 100% in that time when we were running 20th. And you know, he always had my back and was always willing to go the extra mile to try to figure it out. And once we did, you know, obviously you've seen what happened, but that just gave me the trust and the confidence that, you know, he had my back and he was my guy, and we figured it out together.
That, to me, gives him a huge edge. The emotion of the team closing and his relationship with Cole Pern are my reasons of why I think Martin Truex Jr. will win the championship. I'm going through all four drivers, giving you a reason of why I think they're going to win. We've hit Joey Logano and Martin Truex Jr. when we come back here on Chasing Checkers. Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch, the two favorites going into Homestead. I'll give you my thoughts on them, and you'll hear from them. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're back, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. Chase McCabe here with you as always. Championship weekend from the Homestead Miami Speedway. Going to be a lot of fun, and I know we're running out of time, so we'll have to make this snappy. But Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch have to be the two favorites, with Kevin Harvick being the Vegas favorite going into the race on Sunday to win this championship. Both are former champions. The edge. I will give you the reason of why I think either one of them could win this. I will start with Kyle Busch. He's a 2015 champion, but I think he's always wanted to get that second one because so many people look at that championship and put an asterisk next to it because he was injured at Daytona. He missed a lot of races and was given the injury clause where if he won a race, he still got into the playoffs, and he ultimately turned it into a championship. He wants to get that second championship, and to him, even though he's the regular season champion, this year wouldn't really be a true success without the title.
I would say it's certainly been a successful year, but I don't think it would be truly successful without being able to bring home that championship. Obviously, that's what we strive for and live for and build our seasons around each and every year is to be able to get to the Final Four. And we know you got to be in it to win it. And certainly we've been there now, you know, the last four seasons. We've only brought it home in the first year. So got to figure out ways to bring it home every year and have more opportunities to collect these trophies.
I discussed the relationship that Cole Pearn and Martin Truex Jr. have. Well, you know, Kyle Busch has it with Adam Stevens, too. I think that has been a great combination that has worked for them. And Kyle Busch, to me, is a guy with 8 wins in the regular season championship, and he just won last week. He's good at Homestead. He knows how to get around that place. I think that Kyle Busch definitely has an edge, and, you know, that is why I say he's going to win it, as I do this with all four drivers, because it's my way of getting out of making a pick, I think. So Kyle Busch was also asked about, is this race for being the best of a certain era with the big three competing for a championship, is this kind of the race to be the best of an era? Interesting answer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're necessarily racing for the best of this era. You know, if there was a Jeff Gordon era and a Jimmy Johnson era, I'm not sure we're into the next one yet, possibly. But overall, the way you see it, I can see where you're coming from. I do feel as though that the three of us kind of being there within the last 4 years is pretty remarkable. I think that just shows the strength of our team, like Kevin was talking about earlier, teams. But obviously just having that forefront of him in 14, me 15, and Martin just last year, you know, there was that one other guy I just mentioned before who won it in 16, you know, so it's just a matter of having all the stars kind of align and getting you to this point.
I think it's an interesting question, and it's a debate that we might have next week as we wrap up Chasing Checkers for this season. But I think that Kyle Busch, for me, has been of the drivers that are in this thing. I mean, he's been the best just because he's won so many races across all three series. Now, you look at Kevin Harvick, since he got to Stewart Haas Racing, he went to another level. And that leads us to Kevin Harvick, who has, I think, even though Kyle Busch won the regular season championship, Kevin Harvick's been the best this year. And it would be a letdown, in my opinion and his opinion, if they didn't win the championship.
I mean, obviously, with everything that's happened this year, you want to win the championship because obviously you think it would be icing on the cake with everything that you've accomplished, but it's just not that easy. You know, coming here, you know, this time of the season, there's just like us last year, we didn't run well in the first half of the season, and you look at the 22 car, they didn't run well in the first half of the season, but, you know, they came on late and have done well. So, you know, it's really, you know, obviously that's the goal, is to go out and try to win the championship. I don't know that it would be, you know, there's nothing that's going to devastate us to the point of not being able to function anymore. But, you know, to go along with everything that you've done this year, it would definitely seem fitting to add that to the year end. But it's this is a very unique place that isn't like any other place that we race from a mile and a half standpoint. It's always warm. It's always worn out. It always goes from day to night, and the conditions change a lot. And there's so many different things here that it's really hard to put everything together to the point of making your day perfect, because it's just not going to be perfect. And that's, you know, that's just not the expectation going into it, is that to think that everything's going to be perfect. You know, you want it to be perfect. You control all the things that you can control. But you have to go in the back of your mind knowing that you're going to have to adapt and adjust at some point, just like we did last week, to adversity or something going wrong. And you can't let that just rip everything apart.
Kevin Harvick has been adapting and adjusting his entire career. He's been the most dominant driver this year. Yes, I know that Kyle Busch has also won 8 races, but they have been consistent throughout the season, and I think that gives him an edge. I'm going to make a pick. It is Kevin Harvick. I believe Kevin Harvick, the 2014 champion, will be a 2-time champion when we are done on Sunday. I just think this is his championship to lose. I'm going with Vegas on this, and I do believe he is the odds-on favorite. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Chasing Checkers. My thanks to Dr. Jerry Punch for joining me, and also all of you for tuning in. Heard from a lot of drivers, and next week it is the season finale of Chasing Checkers. We will wrap up the season and talk about a champion. It's Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game.